name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, by your Spirit, God. By your Spirit, God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to be going to the Word of God tonight, Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Beginning in verse 9, Joshua 3 and 9. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above. And they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark will come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground unto all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Why don't you put your Bible down and lift up your heart to God? Let's talk to Him. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for what we have felt in this place. I pray that you would anoint this service. Anoint your people, oh God. I pray that your word would go forth with power and with demonstration and anointing, oh God. Help us, heal, oh God. Strengthen in this place. And we won't fail to praise you for it. We'll magnify you. Come on, somebody lift up your voice and give him one more hand clap of praise. God, we exalt your name. We magnify your name, Jesus. We bless you, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord tonight. We're going to continue in a discussion that we've been having in our young marrieds class. We're talking tonight about kingdom dynamics. In every dispensation of time, men and women of God have been responsible for giving entrance to the kingdom of God. They have faithfully, throughout the process of time and dispensation, they have faithfully ushered in the plan and the presence and the purpose of God into the earth. And it is against this standard and against this backdrop that men and women have been judged by God in the face of cultural pressure and family pressure and peer pressure and the voice of a generation that was unbelieving and didn't incorporate the plan of God into their life and didn't obey the word of God. In the face of all of that pressure, they stood for God and they ushered in the plan of God. And they gave entrance to the kingdom of God and to the earth in dynamic potential and actualization. And these activities by men and women of God provided access for the kingdom of God to come into the earth. And they provided doorways and they gave entrance to God's kingdom. And in our examination in weeks and months past of Moses and Joshua, both of these men had significant events in their lives. Now, They were men of prophecy, and they lived during times of significant transition for the people of God and for the nation of Israel. But they had significant water crossings in their lives and in their ministry. And these water crossings were significant. They, by obedience and by faith, they gave entrance to the kingdom of God, and they crossed over bodies of water. And these water crossings are symbolic, and they are significant crossing over events for the people of God. And they communicate spiritual portals whereby the kingdom of God was able to expand, and it was able to move forward. And each one takes the people of God into a new glory and into a new experience and another level of spiritual authority and power. And that is why we press even on a Wednesday night, because we are an extension of men and women of faith. And we are an extension of the plan of God that is continued to unfold throughout human history. And by faith and by obedience and by submission, these men allowed, each one allowed the kingdom of God to come into actualization in their world. They had to face some things. They had to go through some things. They had to encounter some things in their life. And they, by faith and by obedience and by submission to the plan of God, they brought things into their world that had never been experienced before. They were willing to be the sacrificial lamb in the plan of God to move the kingdom of God forward into its prepared future by God. And these portals brought something above into their world, and by prayer and by worship and by prophecy, these portals were unlocked by obedience and by faith and submission to the plan of God. Each dispensation of men and women were engaged in building brick by brick and stone by stone the kingdom of God. They erected tabernacles and they built altars, all by obedience to the word of God. And that kingdom, the kingdom of God, stretched spatially across all locations in the universe, and it stretched dimensionally across all recorded time. And so when we engage tonight in the process of prayer and praise and worship and preaching and prophecy, we are connected to something that is much larger than we are. That the kingdom of God, when I say it stretches spatially, it's not confined to a place. It's not confined to a house or a location. It connects to all space. When we talk about finite life is the box that we put everything that we experience in. All human existence can be put into the box of space. But the kingdom of God is not confined to space. And so when we usher in the kingdom of God, we might be ushering it into this location. But as we do so, we are connecting to every location, because God's Spirit fills the entire universe. Somebody say amen. And when we connect to the kingdom of God, we connect dimensionally across all recorded time. And that is why in Hebrews chapter 11, when the word of God begins to outline the men and women of faith, it talks about faithful men and women who lived for God and who prayed prayers and who conquered adversary. But it tells us this significant prophecy. It tells us that they without us cannot be made perfect. And what that tells me is that when we engage in the same obedience to the word of God, and when we engage in praise and worship with an attitude that we're taking down strongholds, we connect to all people in all places throughout human time. I just want to tell somebody here tonight, you're not a part of some
something small. You may feel small at this season of your life, but your prayer is not a small thing. I know your worship may feel like it's not getting past the ceiling tonight because of the circumstance that you're in tonight, but your worship is connected. It is connected to all space and all time and all people. You are building up the house of God by bit, brick by brick, obedient action by obedient action. You are connected to something cosmic. You are connected to something universal. You are connected to something that transcends time and space and matter and causality. It's bigger than the color of your skin. It's bigger than your malady and your trial. It's bigger than your life circumstance. It's bigger than how your daddy talked to you. It's bigger than your family dysfunction. It's bigger than your failure. It's bigger than all of the problems in your life. You're connected to something called the kingdom of God, and it is a kingdom that has no end. It is a kingdom that is built by God.
And so these men and women engaged in this process, and they were obedient to God, and they unlocked portals, and we've discussed this in the past, but I feel to stay in this vein because I feel like we are in a vein. We are in a significant season of time, and I know that there are some people in the church who are exhausted. You feel tired. You feel sick. You're dealing with difficult circumstances, but I want to remind you that you don't, what you feel is not any different than what any previous generation felt. The time and chance happens to us all. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. And there is a disposition and an attitude that would come in and try to convince you that because of the way that you feel about your life and because of the way that you feel about your circumstance, you should let off the gas a little bit. I just want to remind somebody that you're connected to something bigger than you are. What I felt in prayer tonight is maybe an attitude that came over me, because the enemy's trying to convince somebody your time is up and it's all over and you're about to be taken out. But let me tell you, you need to get an attitude with your adversary tonight, and you need to tell him, if I'm going to be taken out, then I'm going to be taken out on my way in. If I'm going to be taken out of life, then I'm going to be taken out on my way into prophecy. I'm going to be taken out on my way into worship. I'm going to be taken out on my way into prayer. I'm going to be taken out with prophecy still on my lips and with a song still on my heart. Come on, somebody magnify the Lord. Somebody praise him right now. I'm telling you, I'm praying for a holy boldness to come over somebody tonight. A boldness that says, yeah, go ahead and take me out. But you're going to take me out while I'm on my way to a fulfilled prophecy that God promised me. Joshua had to leave some things in the past. He had to bury. Now, he didn't bury him himself, but he had to leave behind the prophet Moses. He had to leave some things in the past. But there's got to be something that comes on us that says, I'm not building a monument and a memorial so tall to where I come from. You know, there's this idea that, you know, there's a house. My wife tells me that when she dreams about the house on Fifth Place Northwest. It's the house that they moved into. I think the second house that they moved into when they came to Birmingham. And that when she dreams that there is a house in her mind that looms larger than all of the other houses. It's her childhood home. It's the house where she slid down the hill in a cardboard box with her sisters and friends and built memories and lots of wonderful things that happened there. But let me tell you, we have this
we have this penchant as human beings that we want to freeze frame life, and we want to have a fixed place. We want to have homeostasis. We want to have permanence. But let me tell you something, that deeply embedded in the Word of God is this prophecy, this unto us a child is born and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. You've got to get it fixed in your mind that your permanent home is not here, that you can't stop and build a monument to where you come from. You can't stop and build a monument to people, because as we progress in the expanding kingdom of God, some people are going to fall away. But the memorial that we build to people that fall away in the process can never loom larger than the destination that God has for us. At some point, you've got to get a made-up mind that God has a future for me that's bigger than my past. God has a future for me. I'm telling somebody here tonight, there's a prophecy that God, I don't care how old you are. I don't care. There's another house that God's building for you. There's something beyond where you've been, and it has to loom larger in your life than every experience you've ever had. This was always going to be an expanding thing. This was always going to be an increasing kingdom. It was always going to be a progressing kingdom. And we have to get our mind made up. We have to get this intestinal fortitude on the inside that says, I'm pressing on, God. I'm pressing on past what I've experienced up to this point. God, I'm pressing on past the revival that I've seen up to this point. Dad, I remember the Bible studies. I remember Ted and Joanne, and I remember GR and Karen, and I remember Larry and Danette, but we can't build a monument to those studies that loom so large that they take precedent over the next Larry and Danette and the next GR and Karen. This train is bound for glory, and it's pressing on. God's got something else around the corner. God's got another hungry family to teach. God's got somebody else to pour out mercy on. The past can never be bigger than where God wants to take us. We have to be willing to bring the kingdom of God into the earth. And that's why when the disciples asked Jesus the question, teach us to pray, or when they petitioned him to teach us to pray in Matthew chapter 6 and 9, after this manner therefore pray you, he instructs them, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven on the earth. He says, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He tells them that this is the thrust of your prayer. This is the thrust of your life, that you are thinking about this progressive kingdom, that your life, your prayer, your focus is direct. I know we have a predisposition as Americans to think in terms of my life and my home and my family. But he said, if you're going to pray, let the beginning of your prayer be this deeply embedded understanding that I'm praying your kingdom come. That I'm praying, God, let me be a participant in the unfolding plan of God in the earth. God, let my lips, if they speak prayer about your kingdom being established in the earth. God, if I make any request, let it first be the request that your kingdom come to fruition in my life. Let it come to fruition in my family and in my home and in everything that I touch. See, it's this alignment. When I get my life and my passion and my home and my family directed toward the kingdom of God coming, when you align your behaviors with God's desires, he empowers you to do things that transcend the physical world, the finite world. He said, you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. The power of God that comes with the Holy Ghost is for the sake of witnessing. I just want to tell somebody, If your life is lacking power, if you feel impotent in your life, I promise you, if you will connect your Holy Ghost power to the purpose of God, if you will connect the Holy Ghost on the inside of your life to reaching out to somebody. I'm telling you, you've got financial problems. Engage in kingdom business. I watched my dad teach Bible studies and pay somebody else's light bill when he couldn't pay his, and God provided. I know it's an old-fashioned message tonight, but I want to tell you, connect your life to the kingdom of God. If you don't have enough energy, mama, connect your life and family to the kingdom of God. Hook your wagon up to God's wagon. Take care of God's business, and God will provide. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. The power is for God's purpose. The power is for God's purpose. The power is for God's purpose. Somebody lift your hands and talk to God right now. Somebody lift your hands and talk to him. Let the Holy Ghost spring up on the inside of you. Come on, somebody be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Somebody be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. The Bible instructs us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things are going to be added unto you. I think about Brother Bert and Sister Tina and what they've done with their home. And as I'm preparing this and I'm praying about it, I think about Christmas parties and I think about church fellowships and I think about their home. It's a blessing from God, and they've worked hard and they've been diligent and faithful. But I think about them opening up their home on a regular basis to people to come in and have fellowship and to meet together. That's the idea of hitching your wagon up to God's wagon. The understanding that we are blessed to be a blessing to the world. It was God's promise and his prophecy to Abraham that you are going to be blessed to be a blessing. It was that God was trying to get Abraham to understand. I know you come from Ur of the Chaldees, and I know you're pagan, and I know your dad's an idol maker, but I need you to pick up your head, Abraham. If you can hitch your wagon to my wagon, I want you to see something that goes beyond the chronological breakdown of family and heritage and history. And I want you to understand that if you can buy into my plan, you're going to see something bigger than Kronos. You're going to see Kairos come into your life. You're going to see something divine come into your life. You're going to see something supernatural come into your life. Abraham, you won't see it all as you're standing on the earth, but you're blessed to be a blessing. In you, Abraham, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. In your seed. Come on, you got to hitch your wagon up to God's wagon. You've got to see God. Listen, God's not just looking at Birmingham tonight. God's not just looking at your family. And God's not just looking at my family. And he's not just looking at New Life. He's looking at the world. And he's saying, come on, New Life. I want you to see what I see. Step out of the box that you're standing in and look up at the stars, New Life. I've got a plan for you that's bigger than this auditorium. I've got a plan for you that's bigger than 68,000 square feet. If you can see it, you're blessed to bless the world. I've given you something on the inside that's connected to the cosmic plan of God. You got to see it You've got to see it. You've got to step out from where you are. And you've got to look up at the heavenlies, the calling, the talent, the ability, the prophetic utterance that is in your mouth. For some of you, the prophetic utterance that's still in your belly. It's the will of God for you to connect to the cosmic plan of God, the universal plan of God, the unfolding drama of the kingdom of God coming into the earth. I don't believe we've seen anything yet. I don't believe we've seen anything yet. I believe that the greatest prophecies are yet to be spoken. I believe that the greatest works are yet to be actualized. I believe that there is an unfolding. I'm telling you tonight, I've said it before, but God is calling us to step outside of the box. God is calling us to step outside of the predictable, to anticipate something that's so much bigger than any. I'm telling you, Billy Cole and Lee Stone King and Jeff Arnold preach great messages, but it's not the will of God for there to be a memorial to those things, that kids go back on YouTube and listen to what happened overseas in years past. It's the will of God for mamas and daddies in Birmingham to be thinking, what kind of sermons are my babies going to preach? What kind of revivals are my grandbabies going to start in far-flung places? It's the will of God to connect to the universal and the cosmic unfolding kingdom of God. Harosha temasa roboshanda tu roboshanda yasi. God, take us there. Help us to see it, God. Help us to actualize it, God. Pray that you would birth within a mama tonight, God. Come on, the willingness to let go of your ideas about what your baby's career needs to look like and say, God, I'm concerned about the kingdom. God, I'm concerned about your plan. God, I'm going to cast my babies on the water of the prophetic and the kingdom of God so that there's a harvest that can come back. I don't want to build my house too tall. I don't want to build my life too significant to not make way, give entrance to the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Horobo hoshanda hasi. Marobo hosia rahangiasa. In the name of Jesus. Hasanda seya. Praise God. Praise God. Even churches where the form, the chronos, becomes primary over the spirit, where the process becomes primary, the routine, the regimented process of religion becomes primary over the prophetic coming in and turning everything on its head, telling us what to do next. I'm telling you, there's an unfolding plan of God that when you connect to it, it's going to blow your mind. That there's a chirological that has to come into your world, and it has to transform your process, and you have to have a place in your life for a prophet. You have to have a place in your life for a word from God. There has to be room in my life for a disruption of the process that I have committed myself to, that cannot ever become primary over the moving of the Spirit of God. God's Spirit gives entrance to another world of possibility. Outpouring causes a portal to open, and the whole kingdom comes which isn't limited to or even diminished by the physical location that gives entrance to it. The physical place is just the place. It's the place that God has ordained, that he has prepared. But the revelation is not diminished. Let me try to explain to you what I'm telling you. That I have studied the Word of God, and I have sat under a wonderful pastor. A pastor who has taught us brilliantly. But let me tell you something. When these babies get the Holy Ghost, when Caleb and when Ben and when these babies that grow up in the church receive the Holy Ghost, they receive the fullness of the kingdom of God. And it is by definition, as the kingdom comes, that in the mind of God, the kingdom comes progressively. And there are some revelations that are locked up on the inside of our babies. I know the industrial-minded man thinks I've got to have all the answers. But let me tell you something that I realize. I realize that there are things that God wants to do. Yes, Zacharias was a man of God. And yes, he heard from God. But there was something born in the womb of Elizabeth that was going to transcend what Zacharias had experienced. It was tethered to it. It was inextricably linked to it. But there was something birthed on the inside of that baby from conception, from the womb of his mother. Yes, Jeremiah had been brought up in Israel, but there was something in him that God put there that transcended everything that had been experienced up to that point. I'm telling you, there has to be room in the house of God for a young person to rise up and begin to prophesy. There has to be room in the house of God for a Samuel to receive a word from God. It was noble of Eli to say, Samuel, what did God tell you? And Samuel said, no, Eli, I don't want to talk to you about it, because the word that God had put on the inside of Samuel was so overwhelming and was so significant that he couldn't even share it with his preacher. He didn't feel the release to tell his preacher what God had told him. But Eli said, you better tell me what God said. And he begins to tell him, Eli, your house is going to be judged of God. And one of the things I admire about Eli is that Eli says, I tell you what, Samuel, I already heard from another prophet, and that word has been confirmed from your mouth. But whatever God says, let him do it, because God, I just want to tell you, there's got to be room in the house of God for a prophecy. There's got to be room in the house of God for somebody to rise up and say, God's taken us somewhere beyond where we're standing. God wants to do some things in our midst that have never been done before. Open up your imagination. Open up your eyes and see it's an unfolding kingdom, and God is taking us somewhere. There's got to be room for a prophecy. There's got to be room for the gifts of the Spirit that come in and wake us up and tell us what's going to unfold next. I'm just telling you, I am so dependent at this point in my life for God to tell me what to do next. I'm faithful in the things that I know to do, but I wake up every day asking God, God, what do you want us to do today? What do you think this day should hold? I've got a process, God, and I've got dreams, and I've got aspirations, and I've got things that I want to see happen in my life, but man, I sure would like to know, who would you like for me to talk to today? Who should I teach today, God? Who should I open my mouth? And I'm just telling you, there's got to be room in the house of God for a prophecy and for a word and for a moving of the presence of God. Somebody has to be willing to open the portal and walk through it and face criticism and face adversity and topple strongholds. And if we can, we can catch it, and we can possess it, and we could hold on to it, and we can mediate it, and we can watch it come to fruition in our lives. I heard my mom share the testimony when I was a kid about receiving the Holy Ghost in a small apostolic church, and I may have shared this with some of you. I may have shared it with all of you. But I can't escape it when I think about this. Because she received the Holy Ghost in an apostolic church that didn't teach all of the convictions that she had. She had some things when she walked in her closet one day. And she could tell you the story with better detail. But just a couple of weeks into receiving the Holy Ghost, she walked into her closet and the Holy Ghost started telling her, you need to get rid of that, and you need to get rid of that, and you need to get rid of that. And some other convictions about television and other things, and cutting her hair, and things that we preach and teach, but things that that church did not necessarily preach and teach to the degree that the revelation came. But she got a word from God, and the word from God, when the kingdom of God comes, the kingdom of God comes in all of its power, and it comes in all of its glory, and it comes unfiltered by the locale and the culture. I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is bigger than a music style. The kingdom of God is bigger than the color of your skin. The kingdom of God is bigger than your religious traditions. The kingdom of God is bigger than wearing a white shirt and a tie. The kingdom of God, when it comes, it transcends all of that business. And I remember having the conversation. I remember hearing the conversation about the struggle that comes when the kingdom comes. Because when the kingdom comes, Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. He said, I came to topple things over, and I came to create conflict. And I came because before the kingdom can stand and power and anointing, there's some things that have to be toppled. And I remember her telling the story about the conflict and the conversation she had as a new convert, because some things were birthed on the inside of her by the Holy Ghost that that church didn't preach. Can the kingdom come bigger? Can it come bigger than the place you go to church? Can it come bigger than the house that you grew up in? Oh yeah, when the kingdom comes, it comes in all of its glory, and it comes in all of its power. How do you live with a revelation on the inside? How it's like Sarah, if it be so. Not Sarah. Rebecca, Rachel, whichever one of them it was. If it be so, why am I thus? The kingdom comes and it brings vision and it brings consternation and it brings conflict. And one of the things that we're forced to do, we're talking about kingdom dynamics, but one of the things that we're forced to do when the kingdom of God comes and brings revelation is we are forced to reconcile on one side the coming kingdom vision that comes and it brings revelation, and on the other side, the location that we come, that the kingdom comes to us in, the family prejudice. I'm telling you, there are good people that receive the kingdom of God that are born into a racist family, and the kingdom of God comes and they start loving other people, but loving other people brings conflict in the home and family. What happens when the kingdom comes and it comes bigger than your mama and daddy, and it comes bigger than the church that you got the Holy Ghost in? Let me tell you what you do. On one side, you hold on to the kingdom and you never let it go. You hold on to the vision and you hold on to the word of God and you hold on to the promise and you never let it go. And on the other side, you learn to submit. You learn to bend your will. You learn to allow God to work on your character. And you stand at the crossroads and at the crucible. And you say, God, not my will, but your will be done. Not my kingdom, not my plans. My wife said, whenever we got married, she said, I didn't marry a preacher. And I knew what God had called me to do. And I felt confident that she was the one I was supposed to marry. I had a calling on one side, and I had an existential reality on the other side. And I didn't know how to bring those worlds together. And let me tell you something, for a number of years, I didn't even feel like I could talk to the pastor about it. I don't know why I felt that way. I just did. I didn't even feel like I could have the conversation. And I lived a portion of my life, my married life, in conflict. in between the vision of the kingdom of God coming and my reality. And let me tell you something, if you can stay in the process, and if you can submit to God, and if you can humble yourself, and you can hold on to the dream, in the process of time, whatever God has shown you will come to pass. He said, when I come to answer, will I find faith? Will I find somebody who's continuing to open the portal by prophecy and by prayer and by worship? Kingdom dynamics. It took a number of years. God gave my dad a dream. They moved to Birmingham. Brother Sutton was the man from his dream. They started coming to New Life, and they walked into a church that preached all of those convictions. Those are kingdom dynamics. That's how the kingdom comes. It comes by faith. It comes by obedience. It comes by submission. It comes by humility. I'm living for God today because a mama and a daddy held on to some convictions. I'm living for God today. It would have been easy to say, well, you know what? Everybody else is going this way. I'm going to go this way. But let me tell you something. That door would have never opened, and that dream would have never come, and God would have never moved my family where we needed to be to live for God and to thrive and to actualize. The same thing happened to the bishop. He went to church in a church. He got the Holy Ghost in a church where there was no multiculturalism. There was no multi-ethnic church. When he received the kingdom, he received the kingdom bigger than a local church. He received the kingdom in all of its power. And there was revelation that came to him about worship. There was revelation that came to him in that place about teaching Bible studies. There was revelation that came to him about whosoever will, let him come and drink freely. And he started trying in that location to actualize those things. And he was met with resistance. And he felt the conflict of a locale that was smaller than the kingdom, because nothing we build on the earth will ever be the full orbed, undistilled kingdom of God. Amen. Nothing that we build, no family, no church structure, will ever be the embodiment of everything that God wants to do in the earth. And that's why we can't build a monument. I love the worship that we've experienced in times past, but we haven't even scratched the surface. If you could see it on a cosmic scale, we're just a few inches deep in a vast ocean of potential. I don't want to build a monument to the worship we've experienced for 30 some odd years. I want to know what else, God. What's around the corner? I don't know how to see more of God, but I'm pressing toward a greater revelation in my life. I haven't seen all the power. I haven't seen all the majesty. I haven't seen all the glory. But I want to know more. I want to see more. It's an unfolding kingdom. I woke up about 2.5 years ago, went through a very difficult season of my life, about 3-week period of time. I wasn't getting any sleep. I was having severe back pain. I was having heart palpitations. I thought something was seriously wrong with me. It was a very, very trying time in my life. I had no idea what was happening. I would wake up in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, try to pray, couldn't pray. Just couldn't feel the presence of God. Was scared out of my mind. I know we're not supposed to talk about this. I know we're supposed to say everything's wonderful and everything's great all the time. But there's some people under the sound of my voice. You've had some sleepless nights. You've had some confusing moments. In that 3-week period, God gave me some of the greatest revelation I've ever experienced in my life. After a lot of angst and looking up at God and saying, God, am I dying? Is this it? God, I've got so much I want to do. I've got dreams that are unfulfilled. I've got babies that haven't been raised yet. And he started talking to me. He told me some profound things. In that season of time, I woke up one morning, and God, and I was having this experience where I would wake up, and God, before I opened my eyes, God would start to talk to me. And I woke up one morning early, and the Holy Ghost just started talking. He said, I want you to go and teach Chase and Gabby a Bible study. I want you to go and do it in their home. Go and open up the study. Start to teach it. And when you start to teach it, the first lesson, Mama and Daddy are going to be sitting down at the kitchen table. Mama hadn't been here in a while, but she's going to be sitting there. Teach them a Bible study. God laid out the whole plan for me. You know what I did? I met with Chase and Gabby. Said, let's teach a Bible study. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go to your house. We're going to have a Bible study at your kitchen table. Ask your mom and dad if it's okay if we do it. Ask permission. Got to the first study. Mom and dad were sitting at the kitchen table. We've been in study for a little over 2 years. God has performed more miracles in that Bible study than I've seen at any point in my life. He's done profound things. I started realizing very quickly that if I connect my life to God's plan, the signs follow. In the middle of teaching that study, God told me, I want to do a work in Margaret. It's the community where they live. Got a phone call one day from a family that lives in Margaret, attends church here. They said, we've got some things going on in our life. We need some help. I said, you need a Bible study. Call my dad. She said, will you teach it? I said, yeah, I'll teach it. Live right down the road. God told me I want to do a work in Margaret. I started reaching out to some buildings in the area, some property owners. There's nothing in Margaret. It's like a handful of buildings. There's a Dollar General, a couple of restaurants. It's not very developed. But you know, there's a Dollar General everywhere you go. We traveled across the country. There was a Subway and a Dollar General at every... We passed an exit that said, no exit for 100... Or a sign that said, no exit for 100 miles. And when we got to the next exit, there was a Dollar General and a Subway. But there's a Dollar General and a Subway. Well, there's a Subway in Argo. I put some feelers out, didn't get a phone call from anybody for a year. A number of weeks ago, maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago now, I got a phone call from a guy from a realty company that is in Odenville, right down the road. The guy said, has anybody called you back? I'm the owner of such and such realty company. Like a year later? Has anybody called you back about that property you were inquiring about? And I'm thinking, you know what? If this is going to happen, it's going to be God. He said, I tell you what, man. You're going to get a phone call. It was like a Friday or Saturday. You're going to get a phone call by Monday. I got a phone call from one of the realtors there. He said, we have a spot in a strip mall that we would be happy to lease to you. It's about 1,200, 1,400 square feet. I told him what we were trying to do. He said, we've helped start churches. He said, we are all about doing church work and God work. He said, I tell you what. He said, just for liability's sake, we've got to charge you something. He said, how does $300 a month sound? I said, that sounds pretty good. I walked in the spot. He still had the original piece of PVC clean out in the middle of the floor. The floors were unfinished. The property in 5 years has never been inhabited. There's never been anybody in this space. So I went and cut the pipe down. I'm standing in the middle of the spot. And I'm like, I don't know what you are doing. I have no idea what you are doing. I mean, I stained the concrete and put some baseboard around the bottom of the wall. And for the last 4 weeks, we've been meeting on Tuesday nights in Margaret. You want me to tell you what I think? You want me to tell you what I think God's doing? I think God is ready for us to start getting outside of this box. I'm thinking the phrase multiplication by division. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking God's, and I think that God is creating a model for us to begin to think outside of the four walls of this building. My kingdom. My kingdom. My kingdom. I don't know what God's doing. I can't tell you how it's going to unfold. But there are communities like that all around the city of Birmingham that are primed. The first prophecy was, I'm going to give you a church on a hill. The next prophecy said, you're going to double in one revival. The next prophecy said, this building is not your last building. I have had more than five, fewer than 10 people come to me in the last 6 months and tell me I had a dream. We were in a building, and that building dwarfed the building that we're in. And each and every one of us is the portal. And I'm honestly trying to reconcile a vision that big against the backdrop of my own shortcomings and my own inability and my own lack. And even with things I know people in this church are going through. Things that I know my brothers and my sisters are under the weight of life and pressure. And family, and death, and loss. But we are the seed. We are the seed. You are the seed. I am the seed. For that kingdom coming to fruition in this city, we are the people. And this is the time. We are the ones that God has called to do the work. And we are responsible for giving it. Giving entrance to it. There are already men and women sitting on the pew who God has been talking to them about starting a daughter work. The burden, the dream, the prophecy, the word, and when it comes, it brings conflict. It brings conflict with who I am and my vocation and where I come from and all of the chronos in my life. But when the kingdom comes, it comes crashing in and it disrupts and it creates conflict and it ultimately brings resolution for us. This is where we are. I don't know How else to have this conversation other than to tell you this is where we are in this season of time. This is the prophetic thrust. And we have to open the portal and we have to give entrance to it and we have to humble ourselves and submit and be compliant with what God is calling us to do. The church, the womb, the church is the incubator, the womb of incubation that causes it to come forth. And so as the mother, the mother, mama has to release the baby to do the work. Jesus said, "Mama, I must be about my father's business. Mama, you got to let me go. You got to release me to do the work." Let's stand for just a moment. Let's lift our hands. Let's talk to God. Let's be sensitive to the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Usa tu usa. Yerasha. Moroshata. Usa. No seki. I'm going to be sensitive. Be sensitive. Siata. Pia sotohosa. Sarakiasa. Mea handasia. Tosandakiasa. Saha.
Thank you.
Come on, all of us have been given talent, time, ability. Everybody under the sound of my voice has something to contribute to what God is doing. It was when Joshua crossed over and he began to fight the inhabitants of the land, and the day started to move on into night, that he rose up in power and told the sun to stand still. And the whole cosmic plan stopped while God brought the victory to the people of God. Right. Let me tell you something that I think is significant for this group to understand. Wherever you are in life, from the very youngest to the very oldest, God has a strategic thing for you to do. Let me tell you something, elder. If all you've got is time, then pray. 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 For what God wants to do in this city. If we just had three or four mamas and daddies and grandmamas, retired folks. If we just had some people right now that just said, you know what? I don't feel like I'm adding a whole lot to it. If we had some people right now that just made a commitment to take their prayer life to another level, I'm just telling you, Grandmama, you could bring a victory for your grandbabies that we've never experienced before. Some things could start happening in the spirit. I'm just telling you, if you'll put your prayer life on the altar and tell God, God, I'm going to be the prayer warrior that this next gen, I'm telling you, if there's anything that I covet, that my generation covets from our elders, is to cover us in your prayer. My grandmother called me not long ago. She said, baby, I tell you what I'm going to do for your birthday. I'm going to give you a whole day of prayer. I said, there's no other gift you could give me. Give me a whole day of your prayer. Cover what I'm doing in prayer. You may not be able to run around the church, but pray to God. Cover us in your prayer. Let me tell you what God's doing. I just don't feel to move yet. What God is doing right now is he's connecting businessmen. One of the things that we're doing in Margaret is we've got a couple of businessmen that are investing money into that building. They're going to start a coffee shop there. It's going to be a win-win situation. And I don't know, it might become a model for Daughter Works, where businessmen come in and start a business, and then we use the space for church work. I'm just telling you, my imagination is running wild right now about what God could do in the next 3 to 5 years with people who say, I may not be able to go out and start the work, but I can invest some time. I could invest some resource. I could invest some prayer and fasting for what God wants to do. I'm telling you, you may not have a whole lot. Just put what you've got before God and say, God, I'm buying in. I'm buying into what you want to do in this city, God. I'm buying into the revival. I'm telling you, we've got some young people that they're just learning some instruments that are contributing. Listen, whatever you can put out, God will take it. Whatever little sacrifice, whatever little loaves and fishes you can give, just take it and put it in God's hand and let him bless it and let him break it. He's not asking for more than we have. He's just asking for us to put it, whatever it is, out before him and say, God, I want to be a part of it. I want to participate, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Osama haki. Orahas eme aranai. Halasi. Oh, Masaki Arobosa. Thy kingdom come. thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, come on, mama. That's it. Come on. Somebody press into that right now. Ooh, sakiara. Roho sata. No sondo lo huki. Yara hasata. Arabasoro hosa. Yaranai. Makuro hosata yasi. Robo sanda. Let's give God one more hand clap of praise. Talking to us. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Soro Shanda. Don't be too quick to leave out tonight. If you're praying, keep praying. God bless you. We're going to go ahead and dismiss tonight, but the Holy Ghost is still working in here. In the name of Jesus. In the name